it's Cofield and Company.
20th knockout of your professional career. What message did you send with your performance tonight?
First of all, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for giving me the victory tonight. Second of all, thank you, America, and God bless you all. The key tonight was to enjoy myself. I used the jab. I was slipping and sliding, hands down. I switched up to southpaw, caught him with a straight left, and it was a good shot. You know, it would have put anybody away. I put on an extra 12 pounds. I really, really feel it, you know. I haven't had 3 years out of the ring this time. This time I had a few months out of the ring. And I'm back, return to the mat. The Mac is back, the lineal champion. Bring them all on!
Tyson Fury in town. The crowd there at the MGM seemed to enjoy it. A lot of people on social media seemed to enjoy it. I don't know, I had a weird feeling around this fight for a couple of different reasons. I still think boxing should be striving to set up competitive fights, and you've got Wilder and Fury, we think, in the offing, but you never know until deals are officially signed. So Fury walks in there against some guy named Tom Schwarz, German, who's unbeaten. He's a minus 5,000 favorite. Now, because of the Andy Ruiz win a few weeks back when he was a dog, Joshua was a minus 3,300 favorite. Now everyone is like, oh, it can happen. Any fight, it can happen. No, it can't. The majority of the times, the books are not going to be that far off on odds. And of course, what happens all day on Saturday, people look to bet the lottery ticket. No one's betting Tyson Fury at freaking, you know, minus 5,000. So Fury drops all the way to like 1,600, maybe a little lower at some spots because everyone's in search of that lottery ticket. And then it's like the worst fight ever. The other guy doesn't throw any punches. Fury, as he said, is not even in shape. And he's just sitting there pecking him with jabs. Wins easily. But I guess if people are satisfied, I don't get it. I don't get it. I think it sends a bad message to all of boxing that you can get away with fights like this.
What is the boxing fan today looking for? You talk about competitive fights, right?
Yeah.
And Fury certainly brought the personality, right? You got that side of it. You got the very traditional, huge heavyweight personality. Great. You didn't get a competitive fight. You didn't get any of the value of what you might pay for. So you tell me, like, you tell me, as boxing tries to find whatever its identity is in 2019, how's it going to do it?
I think, to me, this is an example of what they've done the last 30, 35 years, where we just don't get enough of the premium matchups. So now we've got four heavyweights who should be fighting often and making lots of money, but they're all going to have freaking one-offs on the side to make some money. I don't get it. I don't know why Wilder's fighting a fight in between. It's just weird. But I guess if there's enough of an audience out there, then enjoy it. Enjoy it. I want to see these guys fight. I'm confused by the whole thing, but if the paying public is there, and in this case it wasn't a pay-per-view, it was on ESPN Plus, and apparently they got a decent crowd out there.
So in your perfect world, are we doing Fury Wilder 2 basically getting announced right off the back of this fight?
Yeah.
You would have announced
well,
it,
but you can't, because Wilder has another fight. He's going to fight a rematch against Ortiz.
No,
so you can't do that.
I'm not saying
Ruiz and Joshua 2 should already be set. If it's not, then it should be Ruiz and Fury. It should be Ruiz and Wilder. Like, you have four guys. Freaking fight.
I'm not talking about in reality. I'm not talking about with what's on the schedule. I'm saying you have been appointed overlord of all of this. And you could say, how do we get this done the right way? So you come off a tomato can fight, and you say, you know what? I'm putting the Wilder fight on the schedule right now. Yeah. 6 months.
Well, the problem is you can't do it because Wilder can make lots of money.
I know.
Fury can make lots of money. Joshua can make lots of money by not fighting the best, and we'll see what Ruiz gets down the road. I mean, Adam Hill made a case right after that upset victory. He's like, no one's going to fight Ruiz now.
Oh,
like,
God,
he's actually
no.
not going to make money. I think he will get fights, but who knows the way boxing works. I mean, the good thing for him, well, I mean, there's only so many handlers in boxing, so I think they'll get this done, but I don't know. And then the other weird thing about Tyson Fury is, you know, you hear him there, I love America. You know, he's obviously, this is where you want to come to make, not Joshua was making big money in the UK, but you got to come over here to kind of go to that next level. He's got a weird background, man. He's a guy in 2015 before that fight against Vladimir Klitschko, who, according to the Independent, likened homosexuality to pedophilia. Fury believes the legislation of homosexuality and abortion are two of the, quote, three things that need to be accomplished before the devil comes home? Huh? He also went on anti-Semitic rants in the past, talking about being brainwashed and Jewish people own all the banks, all the papers, all the TV stations. Talked about transgenders. He's comparing it to bestiality. Claiming sexual relations with animals would be legal inside of 10 years. Israel Gutierrez talked about the fight going into the weekend. He's gay. He's with Reali here, and he's like, I guess I'm going to give it a shot, but I got to tell you, it doesn't make me feel comfortable. It doesn't make me feel good to be celebrating a guy like Tyson Fury.
Just wanted to let you guys know what it feels like to watch Tyson Fury, a man who's been very open about his beliefs, including the fact that homosexuality and the acceptance of it is a sign that the world is ending. It makes me feel like I don't matter. It makes me feel like my friends don't matter. It makes me feel like my partner doesn't matter. It takes me right back to my teenage years and my early childhood when I looked around and thought everybody was looking down on me, thinking that I'm lesser than just because of this way I was born. But I'm still gonna watch, and I'm gonna hope that it strengthens me, because it's because of guys like that that I have to fight every single day.
So what do you make of that? Hey, compartmentalize it, Izzy. Just deal with it. Maybe Fury's changed.
Whether he's changed or not doesn't take away the way that Israel Gutierrez feels.
Right.
He has every right to feel like that. So the question for me ends up being much less about Tyson Fury, who is who he is. Question goes to Aram at that point. Question goes to Aram. Is this? I know. I understand exactly what we're talking about. I get the reality of the landscape. But this is what the last act is going to look like.
Boxing promoters are going to moralize?
I'm not saying
I don't want to be partnered with a guy like this.
No, of course not.
I told him to apologize.
Where do we ask the question, though? At that point, if we're going to defend Israel Gutierrez, if we're going to defend anyone who has the feelings that he does, where do we ask the question? Do we ask it to Tyson Fury? We've already put him up as far up on the pedestal as to be one of the four fighters that you're talking about who we want to see his fights. So who are we asking then? Are we asking him to change his beliefs? No. Clearly he is who he is, and if he's changed, then that's his own business. But the paying public does have the right to ask that question to someone, and I don't know who it is. That's why I bring up Aram.
None of this came up. It was just all hooting and holler, and I saw a bunch of media people are like, this is great! What a great celebration of the minus 5,000 favorite, homophobe, anti-Semite. They didn't add that part at the end. This
really?
Is great! So much fun! And I guess... I don't know. I wasn't aware Tyson Fury likes to sing. Like, all the time he likes to sing. I don't know if he's singing well, but he likes to sing. I think this was the end of the press conference here as he decides to go into the annals of, what, the 60s? Bob Arum's up there, belting it out. Yay! He's crazy, isn't he? Singing and stuff. Chrissy looks totally turned off. What's wrong, Chrissy? You don't like the voice, or what? Or do you don't like the telling of the story about Fury being homophobe and anti-Semite?
I don't like that entire angle, but attempt he had to redeem himself, the final nail was put in his coffin with the second song he chose to sing. It was that bad. I don't even know if I can listen to it again.
He decided, this is after the fight, he's going to go Steven Tyler. I guess that was his wife there, who was just like, I mean, I just want to scurry out of the ring. I guess we'll grade his voice here if we're all going to be goofs.
Ooh, I get to be Simon.
Give it a run.
I can lay you awake just to hear you breathing. Watch you smile while you are sleeping. While you're far away and dreaming. I could spend my life in this sweet surrender. I could stay lost in this moment forever. Every moment spent with you is a moment of
treasure forever and ever.
Is he gonna stop?
How much did you pull?
I don't wanna close my eyes.
This is all he kept doing. It doesn't mean we have to do the whole thing.
Because I love you, babe, and I don't wanna miss a thing. God bless America.
How many times has he been hit in the head? Because to go with that song, I hate that song.
I hate that song too.
I hate that song. I hate that movie. It is horrible. But if I'm his wife in that moment, I'm giving him the look like, you better stop this and you better stop this now.
Yep.
Like, like, you are getting no nookie for this. You should be ashamed. You are shaming me.
Would you like to hear
you, Simon?
Audio enhancement, Simon Candy? We tried to enhance it by putting Steven Tyler in the background. Will this work?
Oh God, yes.
Let's try it.
I can lay you awake just to hear you breathing.
I'm screaming louder than Steven Tyler. I thought that's an impossibility.
Why you smile while you are sleeping? Why you far away and dreaming? I can spend my
Is that right?
life.
No.
In
no
this better. Sweet surrender.
No, we just turned up Steven Tyler. Screw it.
Every moment spent.
We won't let Steven Tyler sing.
Is a moment I treasure.
This crank Steven Tyler. Screw it.
I don't wanna close my eyes. I don't wanna fall asleep. Cause I love you, babe. And I don't wanna miss a thing. God bless America.
What do you think? Thumbs up, thumbs down. We gave him help.
I am so glad the studio door is closed right now because I think every stray cat within 3 miles is outside that door right now trying to get in and said, Dad, is that you? Oh, my God. Oh.
Well, you know, let's flip the page. Chrissy does not like Tyson Fury. Let's flip the page. Let's go to a good guy. Did everyone see that OJ hit Twitter this week? Yeah.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas.
Bring it.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, Mr. Simpson, would you please stand and face the jury? Mrs. Robertson.
Superior Court of California, County of Los Angeles, in the matter of the people of the state of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, case number BA097211. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson, a human being, as charged in count one of the information.
Interesting timing for that one. Chrissy's here as Cofield. Adam Candy's in as well. Today's June 17th, 1994. Sort of a big day. That was actually the day that many will never forget. That was the OJ Chase Day. It was also Game 5 of Knicks and Rockets. You're younger than I am. Where were you on that day? Do you remember?
I remember very clearly. Because I was living and dying with that game. I was in training to be a youth soccer referee that day.
Your whole life is officiating. Every story is around officiating.
No, but I remember so clearly. It was long pre-internet.
Yeah.
And I remember getting in the car, my mother picking me up, getting in the car and turning on sports radio and like praying that I was going to get a score. Like praying that I was going to find out what happened in Knicks Rockets. That's it, man. That's all I can tell you.
Chrissy, you're way too young to remember.
I am not.
Yes, you are.
I am not.
You're like two.
We just hit the 25-year anniversary of when Marsha Clark went out and said that she was going to be pursuing a case against OJ.
Right.
And that's when I told everybody when I grew up I wanted to be a prosecutor. And I guess I took a little turn.
It's worked out really well.
But I was obsessed with this. And
really?
With the exception of seeing the crime scene photos, my mom allowed me to watch The Juice is Loose and the entire trial.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No wonder you became a fangirl.
Wow. We'll get into that in a second. Yeah, mine's lame. I was actually at a newspaper, working at a newspaper in the newsroom, and we're all trying to watch a Knicks game, and we're like, what is going on? Put the game back on! And then obviously it turned into a gigantic story. There was actually a documentary done on June 17th. Like on any other sports day, like Arnold Palmer playing his final round of the U.S. Open. Oh my God! Like, kind of got swallowed up. Right? Beginning of the U.S. World Cup in 94. Also, Rangers parade that day. Right? I'm sure Rangers fans are like, we're going to win lots of these Stanley Cups. No, maybe not.
Good. I hate the Rangers and I hate their fans.
So 25 years later, it's the 25th anniversary. 2 days before, our own O.J. Simpson, as we tagged on ESPN Las Vegas Facebook, Las Vegas's favorite sports hero. Some people got mad at that. Not Chrissy, of course.
How dare they?
Decides to jump on Twitter, and boy, he's got a following, and a lot of people are like, what is going to happen with this ridiculous account? But he's standing in his backyard with the golf course over his shoulder because he lives over at Red Rock. He's got quite the life now, but he's got some things to say, so he's going on to Twitter. Here's OJ.
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly. Now, coming soon to Twitter, you'll get to read all my thoughts and opinions on just about everything. Now, there's a lot of fake OJ accounts out there, so this one, at the real OJ32, is the only official one. So this should be a lot of fun. I got a little getting even to do. So God bless. Take care.
Okay. Chrissy, you're the O.J. Simpson whisperer. What the hell did that mean at the end?
I think he meant...
I got a little getting even to do?
He didn't care for how the media has portrayed him in the past.
He got even 26 years ago!
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
He has since been cleared of any criminal involvement in that, and he cannot be tried again.
Okay.
So I think what he was saying was, it's, you know, I'm about to enjoy this new media and lean into it and tell you guys some fun stories.
Is it going to be fun stories?
I think he's proven that they have been.
Were you the first follower on this account?
Oh, yeah. I found it, like, very fast.
Okay.
Before it went, like, you know, it got all viral. So I'm, like, one of the OG OJ followers.
Is that the right order?
OG, yeah, I think OJ, we can work OJ, that out. OGs. We can work that out.
OJ Twitter OGs, OJ OGs.
Yeah, I think you could probably OG, actually go OJs. Either way.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. Well, he decided to hop on Father's Day. I guess we'll grade this for excitement level. He decided to take on the issue. Manager said about 2 weeks ago that OJ had doinked Kris Jenner, Kris Kardashian at the time. Also said that OJ bragged because he dropped his drawers and Chris was very impressed, but OJ's here to say that he would never do that. He had no interest in Kris Jenner, and, you know, that was his good buddy that she was married to.
Bob Kardashian, he's like a brother to me. He's a great guy. He met and married Chris, and they really had a terrific time together when they were together. Unfortunately, that ended. But never... And I want to stress, never in any way, shape, or form had I ever had any interest in Chris romantically or sexually. And I never got any indication that she had any interest in me. So all of these stories are just bogus, you know, tasteless.
Chrissy, does that put it to bed? Sorry.
Good choice.
Yeah.
It was a hot tub.
You know, I will say I would like him to get his throat looked at. I think he might have something going on in his throat.
It was raspy. He might have had a late Saturday night.
That worries me. But, speak your truth, OJ.
So are you saying you believe that OJ never took a stab at Kris Jenner?
Candy.
I'm saying that maybe he never... Well, maybe he... Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Maybe he did, but he felt bad about it.
Okay, so the door's still open. Is the door still open that Khloe is not actually a Kardashian?
Khloe, like all the girls I'm very proud of, just like I know Bob would be if he was here, but the simple facts of the matter is she's not mine.
Well, this Twitter account's great. He's answering all the questions we have. I wonder if we're going to run out of questions in about 2 weeks and not want to see him on Twitter anymore. And OJ, if you're getting even with people, I'm just reporting the news, my friend.
You know
don't
what I
don't
love,
get even with a local radio host, please.
Well, then. Here's what I love the most about it, though. These aren't written out, so he can't claim he got hacked. Like, these are all messages straight from his mouth. There is no way to misinterpret any of this. Every word that comes from him right now is pure OJ, the real OJ 32. You're getting it straight from the alleged killer's mouth.
Whoa,
perfect.
whoa. He's got nothing to hide. I think that this should comfort everybody that had misjudged him for all these years, especially all those in the greater Las Vegas area. You feel safe. He is a pillar of this community.
You need to jump. You need to jump on our Facebook page, because I think that early on there was a guy, Wayne, who was like, "If I see that guy, I'm going to belt him." To which I responded, "I'm like, I don't think you're going to belt him. Don't talk like that.
OJ will.
And why would you go to jail over OJ?
Oh, he'll meet you at the Palace Station in 2-3 minutes. You guys meet right over there, because that pillar of the community.
Candy came in prepped.
Candy's lived here a while. Candy's lived here a while. Candy remembers what happens when you take OJ's Heisman.
Well, he could run for public office, and I think that you guys would both vote for him. I truly do.
I would not, but I do agree that if he ran for public office in this area, he might win. That's based on voter turnout, sadly.
I will say out loud, just so it's not left unclear, no, I am not voting for OJ. But I agree with Steve. I don't think he would be disqualified by any stretch.
Out to L.A., Nash. We're going to talk to legendary TV guy Fred Rogan and get the L.A. reaction to Anthony Davis going to the Lakers.
You're 90 seconds away from more Cofield and Company right here on ESPN Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Anthony Davis moved over the weekend to the Lakers. Chrissy, Cofield, Candy. So we talked to the Knicks side of things with one of our buddies in New York. We wanted to go out to L.A. with the dean of TV broadcasters in Los Angeles. Fred Rogan is up on Cofield and Company. What's up, Fred?
Guys, what's going on? What do you mean you talked to the people in New York about what was going on? Nothing. Why would we even put them on? They've got nothing to say.
The Knicks are a bit despondent. Although we did cover the angle. Maybe the Knicks were the smart team here and the Lakers weren't. Do you think the Lakers gave up too much to get Anthony Davis?
Absolutely not. What did they give up? Really, when you look at it, what did they give up? They give up Lonzo Ball, who people are enamored with, but really is an above-average young player. Nothing more. Now, if you talk to his father, he's the second coming of Magic with a jump shot. But he's an above-average young player. They gave up Brandon Ingram, who I actually think has been playing well of late. Got hurt, obviously. He should be okay. But the Lakers actually gave up on him last season. They were done. They don't think he's aggressive enough. They gave up Josh Hart, who's a fine role player and a guy that'll come off the bench. They gave up the fourth pick in the draft, in a draft where there are three guys that we know of. And they gave up future first-round picks. And if the Lakers perform as they should with Anthony Davis and LeBron on the same team, those picks will be worth nothing. So really, they gave up a lot of guys, but nothing, to get one of the top five players in the league.
When you look at those assets, when you look at the first-round picks, where they're going to be, et cetera, do you see a situation where the Lakers could have used those to bring in more help? Do you think that when we talk about giving up too much for Anthony Davis, is it a matter of you shouldn't have traded for him, period, or that could you have held back one asset, two assets, whatever it is, to get more to put around it? Because we've read today about the fact that the deal is going to be consummated in early July. That's not going to necessarily leave the Lakers with max cap space to build around LeBron and Anthony Davis. Or do you think you just can't even wait to find that out?
No, honestly, you can't wait. Look, the Lakers have always been built around stars. 6 years now, they have been complete garbage. The people here have had enough. And one of the problems with the Lakers is that given the way the front office was in turmoil, nobody wanted to come here and sign as a free agent. The only way they were going to do something right off the bat was to make a deal. Now, Anthony Davis actually fell into their lap. Rich Paul, his agent, Clutch Sports, LeBron's agent, just made this whole thing happen. Okay, so they got Anthony Davis. But the good news about that is now, as bad or dysfunctional as the Laker front office has been, guys around the league will look at this and say, you know, maybe I have a chance to win a title if I play with LeBron and AD. I'm not of the opinion that they go out and they have to sign Kyrie Irving. People here would love it. or Kemba Walker, good player, or Jimmy Butler, who hangs out in Calabasas down the road all the time. I think they can take that money and spread it out and get a Rudy Gay, maybe Derrick Rose, get a couple of guys, maybe a J.J. Redick. All of a sudden, you're surrounding LeBron and AD with shooters, and that's what they need. But here's the ultimate danger. During the regular season, they'll make the playoffs this year. That's not even an issue. And with the Warriors getting dinged up, they have a chance to make a deep run. But when you get to the playoffs, the one thing you know, we don't have 19 and 20-year-old kids coming off the bench. You've got to be a veteran group or guys with experience to win in the playoffs. And that's where the danger in all of this comes, when you commit that much money to so few players. They'll get guys on 1- and 2-year deals now. That won't be a problem because they'll want to play with AD and with LeBron. But will they get the right guys to make a deep run? And, again, what did they give up? We don't know if Lonzo Ball is going to be a star. We don't know if Brandon Ingram is going to be a star. We know Josh Hart is not going to be a star. And they gave up draft picks. I really don't think they overextended themselves at all.
Fred Rogan, NBC LA, AM 570 sports talker. So who pulls the trigger on the rest of the moves? Who's the point person now? Because I don't think it's Rich Paul with every move from here moving forward. Who's the point person for the Lakers?
Well, he is. It's Rich Paul. He's the general manager of the Lakers and the man in charge of Clutch Sports. He's an agent and a GM because he pulled the trigger on this. It's Rob Pelinka. And that is the guy that's been under fire and under scrutiny. And really, you know, he took a little heat off himself here. But it now comes down to, okay, how are you going to grow this? And what are the next steps? He's the guy that's going to make the call on all of this stuff. And the next call is vitally critical because that's going to determine really what kind of team this is. I said on the radio today, this is great. They have Kyle Kuzma, who really can play, AD and LeBron. That's great. But you can't only play with three guys. It's against the rules. Right. You have to have five. And then you have to have guys that are going to sit on the bench. Because one thing the Lakers will do, I don't know if you guys have talked about it with the NBA, they're going to go load management, just like Kawhi did in Toronto. So you got to figure LeBron's going to sit out 15 to 20 games. AD has been injury-prone. He'll sit out 10 to 20 games. And whoever they bring in that is older, let's say a Derrick Rose, well, we know he's dinged up. He'll sit out games. So they're going to go with load management. And they've got to find guys that, you know, they won't all sit out on the same night. But you'll see that around the league more and more now. So they got to find guys that can actually get in and play when the veterans are sitting out. The danger in spending all of the remainder of your money, big-time money, on one guy, I think you're going to have a problem filling out your roster with competent players that will be able to spell these guys when they need a break.
Fred, what was the listener reaction to your plan of just going with a big two instead of a big three?
Kind of 50-50,
yeah.
On our radio show today. Kind of 50-50. You know, fans get caught up. I always say, it's like when Lonzo leaves, you know, people are, oh, my God, I can't believe Lonzo left. And I always ask the question on the air, why? Why can't you believe he left? Why are you in love with him? What has he done? Stop falling in love with people. Understand it's a business. The business is to win and like them a lot, but stop falling in love. So when you talk about, well, we, the Lakers, can go out and get a Kyrie Irving, oh, my God, you know, that's like lights out. Because nobody's thinking long-term about what that will mean for the rest of the team. It's 50-50. I think people that really get it understand that they need to spread the money out. I think the fan that spends a lot of money to go to Staples Center would like that third star. And I'll tell you guys, the Lakers would like that third star as well. But again, that's going to create problems down the road.
Fred, with LeBron, we're looking at a guy who's going to turn 35 this year, who is, of course, a freak of nature physically in a way that maybe we've never seen before in the league. But a groin injury that his own physical therapist said should have been a six-month injury. Is there any level of concern within the Lakers organization about how LeBron comes back off this injury?
No, he'll be fine. Physically, he will be fine. The thing that will affect him long-term, as you point out, is his age and the number of miles on his body. I think the thing in the Laker front office that they're probably most excited about when it comes to LeBron as he seems to be suddenly engaged. You know, if you watched from afar last year, you probably didn't realize what we did here in Los Angeles, is that he was not engaged. This was one of the companies in his portfolio, basketball. He also has media. He also has music. And the appearance was that he was spending as much time, if not more, on the other companies in his portfolio as he was basketball. By virtue of the fact they signed Anthony Davis, because he's a guy that needs to be surrounded with veterans, by getting AD, suddenly the light bulb went on. And he says, I've got a chance. Because he could not lead those young guys. We all thought when he got here he could put five guys on his back and just go. That's not the case. He does need help. But I think the key is not as much his health, although they will give him some time off this year as precautionary measures. I think it's his engagement, and he seems now to be more engaged.
Fred, it's Vegas. We love to bet. So right now the Lakers move to 3-1 to win the title next year. Would you bet it?
No.
Why not?
No. I wouldn't bet it yet. I wouldn't bet it yet because I don't know the rest of the team. Right now they have three players, plus Mo Wagner, Bonga,
right,
and whoever else is there, and Alex Caruso. They don't have any players.
Right.
We've got to find out who their players are to determine if that's going to be the case. Because, AD and LeBron are great. They'll make the playoffs. But, you know, you get into the playoffs, Denver looked pretty good this year. Portland looked pretty good this year. Those teams are very competitive. Golden State is not going to win the title, but they're going to be hanging around. Houston, you know, if they don't implode with Chris Paul and James Harden, they're pretty good. So suddenly your two big guys are going to need help. And we've got to see the way the rest of the roster is constructed before, you know, I would place that bet.
Let's go back to the big three concept, even though you don't like it. I'll throw four names at you. You tell me the one that they have the best shot at getting. Kawhi, Jimmy Butler, Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker.
Kemba Walker.
Okay.
Kemba Walker, Jimmy Butler. Kyrie, there's talk that he's already had conversations with Kevin Durant. And Durant has a decision to make. Is he going to take his $31 million in Golden State, go back to the West Coast and rehab, or is he going to sign a four-year deal with the Knicks, make a ton of money, and rehab in New York? I found it very curious that when he had his surgery, he did it in New York. I found that really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And there are reports that the two, Kyrie and Durant, have already talked. I think Kyrie is the long shot to come. I think Kawhi is a non-starter. I think he goes to the Clippers if he comes out here. Jimmy Butler would love to be here, and so would Kemba Walker. And it would be who would take the money that was available.
Right. Last one, come October. Who are you guys talking about more on your shows? The Lakers, the Rams, or the Dodgers?
Well, the market is always this. It's always Lakers, Dodgers, Dodgers, Lakers. Always.
Okay.
Always. It's 1-1A.
Still no Rams? Nothing? No progress by the Rams?
No. Rams? No. So it's Dodgers, Lakers, Lakers, Dodgers, and then Rams.
There you go.
And look, and I know the people with the Rams very well. I mean, I'm friends with Kevin Demo. I know them very well, and they know this. To crack this place, it's really difficult. And even though the Rams were here but left, there was no football here for like 20 years. So people developed different allegiances. It was good they went to the Super Bowl. That helped them an awful lot. And then you look at the other team here, the Chargers. The Chargers could win the AFC this year, but their footprint is very minuscule.
Yep.
The team that L.A. wanted is the team you're getting, ultimately the Raiders. The Raiders still track very well in Los Angeles. So, the Rams will be a distant third. But prolonged winning, a sustained history of winning, will move them up a little bit. They're not going to touch the Lakers or the Dodgers.
By the way, what was your Father's Day conversation like with Sean McVay?
Oh, I talked with Sean McVay about a number of issues. I showed him a picture that we found of him in high school, which is great.
All right.
Bad haircut.
Yeah.
He talked about Jared Goff and how he'll never give up on him. He talked about Todd Gurley. Great story. He interviewed with Stan Kroenke for the Rams job. And he had the meeting. He thought it went well. Kroenke looks at him and goes, okay, so when are you headed back? McVay looked and thought, oh, my God, I lost the job. So they ate at Spago. So they go back to the Montage Hotel, and McVay's up all night going, how did I screw this up? I thought I had the job. And when they got up in the morning, Kroenke called him and said, do you want the job? McVay thought he didn't even have the job. He just thought he was leaving town without the job. I thought that was a great story.
Awesome. Fred, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, guys. Take care.
There you go. Fred Rogan. Everyone here is transplanted from L.A., knows him. He's been on TV there forever, and he had a different plan. We'll react to that, the Lakers should move forward with a big two, not a big three.
Stick around. Cofield and Company returns in minutes in the Finley Toyota Studios.
I'm going to kill your bookmaker. I'm going to rip his throat out. I will step on his throat until the man chokes. Let me tell you how. Winners, 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 winners. Free, 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 free.
All right, we want some futures winners. Adam Candy. Adam Candy, the company today. Chrissy Cofield on a Monday. A lot more on the Anthony Davis 2 Lakers trade. Candy, not in love with it. We just had Fred Rogan on from L.A. who said the deal is fine. They gave up nothing, but don't get all crazy and go for a big three. Build around a big two. So I threw some odds your way a little while ago. Let's repeat them. One, the Lakers went from 5-1 on Saturday to win the NBA title in 2020. Now they're 3-1. With Anthony Davis, LeBron, and Kyle Kuzma, and a couple of spare parts. So they still need to build a team. The interesting thing about the 5-1 is, if you noticed on Saturday afternoon, if you follow our good buddy Arash Marchese on Twitter, I think it was like 3:14. He sends out a tweet and he's like, hey, the Westgate just told me someone came in, put 10 grand down on the Lakers at 5-1. Yeah, 12, 13 minutes later, Davis deal is done. Not saying someone had inside information, but someone certainly the master of good timing. 3-1 to win the title. They could have a big three. They could have Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker, Jimmy Butler. 3-1 for the title. How much are you going to put down?
$0.00.
That's it.
Because
you're not doing it.
There's no value there. There's no value. You have to go right now at 3-1 in the hopes that a third player comes. Okay, that's not value I'm anywhere interested in, because what happens if that third player does come? Goes to two? Goes to even?
Ah. You like that dude's ticket of 5-1? Or still the same deal?
Five's a little better, but then, you know, and we're going to talk about this, but look at the rest of the odds here. I still don't think five's great value when you see some of what else is going on here.
Who else do you like?
A couple things jump off the page at me. If you're going to tell me the Lakers are 3 and the Rockets are 9 on a Rockets team that the past 2 years has been a break or two from going to the NBA Finals and potentially winning it.
Remember what happened when LeBron and the Cavs, that whole thing got out of the way of the Raptors, right? They could never get over that hurdle. They did. So is GSW just the team that the Rockets can't beat? Maybe, and it ain't going to be the same GSW team next year.
Daryl Morey today gave an interview where he was clearly not happy about the impression that we're handing the Western Conference to the Lakers now that Anthony Davis is there.
Right.
He basically said, we were the best team last year. We're going to be the best team this year. We're going to continue to spend. We're going to bring in either a third star or a quality role player. And boy, is the timing interesting on this ESPN report about Paul and Harden not getting along. Man, right before the edge of free agency, when Houston might be one star away from really locking this thing down. Interesting that this report pops out.
Translate
right
that. What does
now.
It mean?
It says to me that someone with an agenda to keep free agents away from Houston is putting this out there.
Okay.
That some agent who wants it to be known that Houston's not the greatest place to go might want that story out there. That's, to me, very interesting timing. Looking down the rest of this list,
am I crazy for trying to make a speculation bet on the Clippers at 10, or is the number sucky and it's way too built into it? Because if I'm banking on Kawhi Leonard going to the Clippers, 10-1 ain't bad with a Kawhi-led Clipper team.
If. But there are numbers here that are so much better that I don't have to bake anything into. I'm going way down the list here. Best backcourt in the NBA this year, you could make a reasonable case for the Oklahoma City Thunder. I know Paul George spent some time at the three. Russell Westbrook, Paul George, 33-1 in a wide open West. Yeah, that looks fantastic to me. And if you're going to give me that, the other best backcourt in the West that was not Curry and Thompson and Durant was the Portland Trailblazers. Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum were in the Western Conference Finals, 33-1. You're telling me that I can get that kind of value on those guys? Yeah, that's where the value in the number is for me. Because if you're going to say the theory behind the Lakers being NBA championship favorites is that the West is wide open. Well, if the West is wide open, I'll go down and get some better numbers on those two teams.
I think Chrissy's ready to make a bet. She was just fixated on you through both of those bets. I think she's laying down money on the value.
You can book with me. Minimal juice.
Let's go. Pull out your cash. Pull out your cash. All right, Big Five is on the way. We will break down the Anthony Davis Lakers trade, especially from the Lakers roster building standpoint. Who else are they going to get? Who can they get? How do you actually build a team now when you only got four or five total players?
Cofield and Company will be back in 90 seconds. Keep it here on ESPN Las Vegas.